Hey, Trojan fans, welcome to the Armchair Quarterback Podcast. We are back again this week. We got a very special guest. We got a new one, new voice for the Armchair Quarterback Podcast. A little bit later on, 1981 Heisman Trophy winner Marcus Allen will join the show. So that'll be cool to talk to him, get his thoughts on what's going on with the program. He has a unique perspective because he was the first former player brought in by Ed Orgeron to speak to the team after he took over as the head coach. The interim head coach for USC. And we also, as always, we're joined by Shane Foley, former USC quarterback, in this first segment. What's going on, Shane? How you doing?
Hey, Ryan. Great to be back on. Thanks for having me. And fired up to see Marcus coming on the show as well. Awesome to see.
I know. We got to get a big group of all you former players together. We'll do a round table or something, have everyone talk. That'd be fun.
Well, love to do it. But certainly, just on that note, love to see some of the big guys that played and did a lot for the university and Heisman Trophy winners be so involved and so engaged in the university and in the football team. And so great to see guys coming back. Great to see guys passionate about it. And just any guy that played, certainly love to just see their involvement. And having guys come back around and be part of the program says a lot about the university.
Yeah, and he's certainly involved. And I think you guys will look forward to that segment coming up here in 20, 30 minutes or so. Check that one out. But first, we want to talk about what's been going on with the USC football team with Shane Foley, who's been following the team very closely himself. You can follow him on the internet, ShaneFoley.com, if you want to see his Foley report, or if you want to follow him on Twitter, Shane Foley_USC. That's on Twitter. So at ShaneFoley_USC. And this is going to be an interesting week, Shane. I know the Foley report. As far as the Colorado game, I mean, we could talk about Colorado a little bit. What did you think? I mean, I know everyone's kind of just looking through that game, but there was some significant stuff happening in that one.
Yeah, we can touch base on it. I think it certainly, for all the reasons we already know, it was an important game to get that win to take care of business. You're coming off a huge emotional win, national scene, game day, everything there with the Stanford win, humongous emotional push with rushing the field and all the feel good stories that came out of that one. And then you've got your rivals on the back end of the season, the 8-game season that Coach O's called it, and that being the 8th game. And in between it, you've got the so-called sandwich game or the trap game from the outside looking in. That's what they call it. But I like the focus. I like really going up there, blocking out any distractions, any other types of things that are taken away from that game right then and right there, playing against Colorado and taking care of business. So I think there were some good things that came out of it earlier in the day, shifting gears a little bit. I mean, clearly we saw that with Arizona taking out Oregon, shockingly. I mean, that was 42-16. And so the table had been set that, if you're not prepared and ready to go, that you can lose on the road. And so they went into that game with mid-20 degree temperatures up there. I know you were in the box staying warm.
Yes.
But, a lot going on. And I thought that, overall, the team played very well. There's a lot of good that came out of it. You saw the distribution to a number of different receivers. The tight end involvement was tremendous. Four backs out of the backfield catching the football. Cody Kessler making good decisions, moving in the pocket well, showing moxie. A lot more confidence. Just the overall feel and the confidence that he's taken into this week's game it bodes very well for the Trojans and the Trojan family. So all that was good. I thought the defensive side of the football played very well. Certainly early in the game did some good things, good defensive line play, good pressure, caused turnovers that we converted in the first half into points, which was crucial in that regard. Obviously didn't like to see Kevon Seymour get knocked out with the rib injury, but sounds like he's going to be back and ready to go. So I think on balance, a lot of good things. Could not avoid. We cannot get out of this without mentioning Soma Vanuku, certainly being the MVP, really in the special teams this year, doing what he's done and impacting all phases of the game. He's got a second blocked punt, causing the safety on the season by him. And so I just think that he's just doing a lot of great things. And then obviously lining him up in the tailback position and seeing him take it 50-plus yards for a touchdown and catching the ball out of the backfield, which was something that was he took a lot of heat for last year, as you know, Ryan, to see him catching the ball and catching the touchdown against Stanford. So a lot of good things, I think, building on last week, going into the huge game and the huge week that we have coming on Saturday.
It is a huge game, and one quick thing before we move on, because I know there was some really good stuff you had there. I love some of Vanuku's stuff I really like. Have you ever played in the cold weather when you were at USC? I mean, they said that was the second coldest kickoff in USC history, but I don't know if back in your day, did you ever have some cold weather games?
Well, nothing like that. I mean, we, you know, one of the games that was pretty heavy duty weather that we, you know, that we had, I didn't play in that game. It was Rodney Pete, and it was against Notre Dame out there. And we had basically frozen rain out there. I think that was the 1987 game, and basically sideways frozen rain coming down and sleet. And so very tough conditions. We lost a tough one out there that day. Games that I played in, you know, played in Corvallis up there, played the majority of that game, and that was a, you know, a night game up there, and probably it was in the 40s. Washington State up in Pullman gets very cold as well, involved in a couple, you know, some games up there as well. And in Washington, certainly even on the lake up there, played a day game up there where we actually didn't have rain, fortunately, but you know, definitely, you know, it's something you just really block out. I really liked Coach Orgeron's approach. You know, it wasn't a big issue. It wasn't anything they talked about. They prepared for it as best they could, but it wasn't something that really came up where it affected the game really in any way. It did look like, you know, Buck Allen on that first touchdown run really looked like he came down on the kind of frozen turf there and hurt his left shoulder, kind of a stinger, but he bounced back and played the rest of the game. So it did look like they adjusted to it very well.
Yeah, it was chilly. I was nice and warm, like you said, up in the press box. But I was on the field for a while shooting some pictures, and it definitely wasn't all that fun. Well,
I saw some of the Instagram and some of the Twitter stuff coming out with the icicles hanging down off the harvest house up there and all that type of thing. It looked very, very cold.
I did get to throw some snowballs, so that was fun. So, but
well, good deal. Good deal.
Well, you mentioned Ed Orgeron, the job he's done, and now he's 6-1. I think we talked about it last week, kind of waiting to see where this goes. I know our guest later on, Marcus Allen's a big advocate of Ed Orgeron getting a job. There was an LA Times article that him and a few other, you know, former USC greats that, you know, have come out in support of Ed Orgeron. What have you seen out there, and what do you think now? I mean, the Colorado game probably doesn't change much, but what have you seen over the past week or so just with the Ed Orgeron train keeps rolling?
Well, it sure does, and rightfully so. I mean, 6-0 in the conference, 6-1 overall, really to pick the momentum up off of where we had been. Certainly, we talked about it last week, but just the depths and the despair that the program came from. That Washington State game, again, being one of the ugliest games, if not the ugliest I've ever been at, really a fire the coach chant that I've never heard in any stadium. And so, and having recruits at that deal, you know, really having that happen, and then obviously giving up 62 to Arizona State, tying the most ever that we've, you know, ever given up in the history dating back to, you know, 1888 playing football. So a lot of negatives were really affecting the programs, the morale, the recruiting. You know, the present was being affected, and certainly the future did look pretty bleak and pretty dark at the time. So to come in and to change things as quickly as he has really was remarkable, and it has been tremendous. And it didn't really take a lot. I mean, I wrote about it last week in the Foley Report. It didn't really need to be that complicated. At the end of the day, you got to have guys buy in to what it is you're doing. You got to have, you know, you got to have respect, but you also, you know, want these guys to like you. They're going to play harder for you. They're going to play together, you know, if they're having fun. And so I think he recognized probably some of what Pete had done, and I'm sure he's been taking notes the whole time. He had a head coaching job at Ole Miss, as we know, and didn't have the success that he was hoping to have, but I think he learned a lot. He's shown that he's learned a lot. He's been, you know, really the kind of the heartbeat of the program under Coach Carroll and also under Kiffin and recruiting coordinator and all those types of things. So I think he, for this opportunity, has had the right balance of fun, but also discipline and focus, and then getting these guys ready to play at the right time and stepping into games and on the field, playing big time football. And that certainly was showcased against Stanford. And I think it's one of those things when you go up to, you know, Colorado in a situation like this where you can slip up, just ask Oregon if that can happen. You know, and they didn't. I mean, they took care of business. They played good physical football. They took care of business, won the turnover battle. Didn't have a lot of penalties, made good decisions by the quarterback. So a lot of good things came out of it. So I think when you're looking at what Coach O's accomplished in a short, relatively very short period of time, it's been tremendous. And so I can't underestimate it. I'm not going to minimize it. He deserves all the credit that he's getting, including Rick Neuheisel's Ed O song and all the other things that are going on out there. It's really been phenomenal. And making the semifinal cut for Coach of the Year, and I know that Jim Mora just came out and voted, acknowledged that he voted him as Coach of the Year for the Pac-12. It's really remarkable, what's taken place. And so I'm a big advocate of Coach Orgeron's, what he's doing, who he is. I've had the opportunity to meet him and to talk to him. And I think any player that's out there that played for SC really loves what they're seeing right now, not just former players, but certainly the entire alumni base has got to be pleased with what they're seeing and how they've responded. So I do think, though, I will say this, Ryan, because I know it's one of the things you've kind of been asking me about, is when's the right time and what's the situation? There's a number of former players that have advocated, hey, call the search off now, name them right now. I'm still of the opinion that we need to wait and see how we perform against UCLA here this Saturday. This is a huge game, 22 versus 23. They basically took our lunch money last year and beat us down, that game. And we can talk a little bit about that in the transition from last year to this year. It was an abomination. My wife and I were at that game in the rain and, spotting those guys 24 points. But walking around, my biggest takeaway from last year's game was that we came out lifeless. We came out without really any energy, without any enthusiasm. We just were flatlined out there. And so to see those guys have the opportunity, I'm going back to last season, having the opportunity to play for the Pac-12 conference championship game against your rival and to spot those guys 24 points before they wake up, before they were, smelled the smelling salt and woke up and got going. It was horrible. So, I think it's a completely different deal. I love the toughness, I think, that Coach Orgeron's brought back to the program. I think that's going to match up well with Jim Mora, with Coach Mora over there at UCLA, because I think he's brought a lot of that back to the program as well. So I'm looking forward to both of these coaches going head-to-head and looking for a great matchup and a completely different feel than what we as Trojans felt last year at the Rose Bowl.
You talked about the game last year, and we've seen what coaching can do, and you've seen what Ed Orgeron has done in turning this thing around, if he gets the job or not. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what Pat Hayden decides. But we've seen a huge change in the way this team is playing, from the first few games of the season to the last seven. And I'm curious to see if this single game is kind of like a microcosm of that, of changing the coach. The personnel is largely the same. It went from, like you said, an embarrassing effort going down 24-0 before you even looked like you got going, to this year. I do expect it to be a lot different. So even though the teams are pretty similar and there's a lot of similar things going on, the one big difference, obviously, is USC's head coach. And I really expect a much different effort, especially on defense. That's some of the philosophy differences there. But I do expect a much different effort this year.
Well, I think, all good points and all stuff that, we both agree on. I think right now, just with the coach Orgeron, what he's brought to the football team, what he's brought to USC, we could tell just by the reaction after Stanford. We had talked about it before. I mean, I was there when we ended Notre Dame streak and probably 20,000 people on that floor, the Coliseum floor after that game, going back to 97, 98, late 90s, whenever it was. Fast forward to this year, there was really just a thirst, a starvation, if you will, of people that really wanted to see USC back to play in Trojan football. I mean, there's so many people that, having 50,000 people out there, and that wasn't just about beating Stanford. I mean, clearly that was a great thing and an accomplishment and everything else, but that was really, in my mind, largely heavily favored about winning and getting back to being Trojans and playing Trojan football and having something to believe in and having something to be fired up about. And that really does go to Coach Orgeron. Coach Orgeron has to be given that credit for getting that belief, back at USC and the follow through. I mean, we did, the first couple games out of the gate. I mean, obviously, we kind of had some letdowns. I mean, we gave up some points to Arizona, won a tough game 38-31. Every week we've really been getting better. I mean, we had obviously a rough second half on the road in South Bend, but every week it's been playing good, tough, physical football, defense has been playing. Leonard Williams, George Uko, those guys in the trenches. The offensive line is playing better. Kevin Graf had his best game. You know, a couple games now. You know, Andre Walker, a couple games ago, had his best game as a Trojan. Kevin Graf, I think, probably had his best game as a Trojan last game. So you've got guys playing their best football right now. And then you take a look on, you know, the defensive side, the Josh Shaw, what it's meant to have him back at corner and really being a leader on that defense. Hayes Pollard in the middle, that I really think is the heart and soul of that defense. So you've got a lot of people doing just great things out there. A lot of players are doing great things. And I think Coach Orgeron and the staff, you know, I think he is well empowering his staff to do great things. Part of being a great leader is also knowing when to follow. And so, you know, empowering these guys, Clay Helton, Clancy Pendergast, you know, getting these guys, you know, bringing in a defensive line coach to let him focus on all phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. All phases of the game have been flourishing because of that. You know, you take a look at the third down efficiency, the improvement on that, the red zone offense, taking a look at that, taking a look at, you know, just collectively on defense against the rush, total defense, all of these categories that you take a look at, you're seeing improvement across the board. And so I think that really does the mantra of one team, one heartbeat that Coach Orgeron established and what he set forth when he took the head coaching job is being played out right now, and I think it's going to follow through, and we're going to see it on Saturday.
Well, let's talk about the matchups on Saturday. And I mean, there's a bunch of different interesting ones. To me, really, the line play on both sides is very interesting. I mean, we can start with the USC defensive line versus a really beleaguered UCLA offensive line. Yep. I think last year you saw Brett Hundley really operating back there unmolested and didn't really have a lot of pressure on him. And I think that's going to change this year, which I mean, I think could be a huge turn in this game.
Well, yeah, I think the matchups in the trenches, it's always going to come down to the trenches to me. And so I think any great, you know, any player's going to tell you about that, whether it's a quarterback or running back, you know, having the lines up front, taking care of business in the trenches. And so, yeah, I think that you touched on it a little bit. They're going to have three true freshmen, I believe, playing in this game on the offensive line. Arizona State had 9 sacks on them in that game at the Rose Bowl in a very consequential game for those guys, you know, matching up against Arizona State in the last game that they lost, where they came back. But they're going to have a lot of youth up front. I do expect Leonard Williams and big George Uko, Antoine Woods in the middle to really be dominating and playing big-time physical football. We're going to see a lot of, you know, two of those guys in the trenches with, you know, obviously with Devai and Devon Kennard on the outside, you know, doing a lot on that. But I think we're going to see a lot of pressure. I think we're going to see a lot of different schemes by Pendergast getting pressure on the UCLA quarterback. I think we will probably see how much pressure we can get without bringing a lot of stunts and without doing a lot of that early. But I do think we'll see some different, you know, different stunts and different looks and twists coming from the defensive front right there. I think that, you know, let's take a look too. You know, when you lose two guys like Morgan Breslin, that's another thing that a lot of credit has to be given to the coaching staff as well. We haven't really touched on, but everybody knows the limited scholarships. I mean, we're playing with you know, between 45 and 50 scholarship players. You know, and you got great players like Morgan Breslin and, you know, starting linebacker Lamar Dawson, who's had ups and downs, but was playing pretty good football in the middle of the season. With both of those guys down and having guys step up like Anthony Sorrow, leading the team in tackles last week, you know, coming in and stepping in, seeing the job that J.R. Tavai has done has been tremendous. And so seeing just guys step up when we're already thin, but playing the number of plays that they're playing and doing what they do, it really says a lot about the buy-in and the belief. You know, going back to earlier in the season when Sua Cravens went out and Deion Bailey was in street clothes and he came out to play the second half because he knew that he was better off in a better situation than Sua Cravens is. That's putting the team first. And I think when you got guys buying in, when you have a team that's buying in across the board, they're playing for each other. They're not just playing for themselves. They're not, you know, looking for singular glory or anything like that. They're playing for the guy right next to them and right in front of them. And so I think that's what it is you're seeing. And I think that's going to play out in the trenches. Again, I like the progress that the offensive line's making. They did get back to running the ball. You know, I'd say with mixed success against Colorado early. You know, Colorado was able to stop us on some third downs and force some punts, but we got points off turnovers. We ended up down the stretch converting 50% of our third downs, which is dramatically different, than the 27%-ish range that we were in under Coach Kiffin. So I think we're doing a lot of great things, and I do think that I think it's going to be war and up front. Certainly, we're going to have to get after them. And we've talked about it before. It's a cliche, but we got to put pressure. Best pass defense is a great pass rush. And we've got to disrupt their quarterback, Brett Hundley. I think he does some very good things. He's good. He's a catalyst for that offense. He good feet and can make some plays. But, again, I think he has shown that he's been at times made poor decisions by getting pressure in his face and by really disrupting his rhythm. And that's what we're going to have to do on Saturday.
Yeah. The line play, I think it's key, but also we have to see what the USC secondary does. I thought they played better against Colorado. There was 5 defended passes, 1 interception.
Right.
We'll see what happens with Kevon Seymour. It looks like he's going to be healthy there, but what do you expect to see out of this USC secondary, especially the corners?
Well, I think it's going to be a big physical matchup. I've liked the progress. Kevon Seymour being a young guy, Josh Shaw being really a guy that's been around and a very experienced player. I like both of them, though. I think Seymour's making progress. Josh Shaw is a lockdown corner and a guy that's physical, can defend quick passes and screens, and can also come up and attack the perimeter. The offense is trying to run off tackle and getting the ball outside. So I like a lot of what we see there, and the versatility of a Deion Bailey, I think, is tremendous. A guy that played very close to the line of scrimmage as a linebacker, and now kind of playing him at nickel or at safety, but they do walk him up a lot, and he is a great tackler in the open field and makes plays. So I think that is very fortuitous. Sua Cravens, I think he's going to be the next great safety to play at USC. And so a true freshman doing what he's done, I think that he just has to, really take good angles. I think he has to play a good physical football game, and I expect him to. And Demetrius Wright, who's come in, really when Josh Shaw moved back over, Demetrius Wright's come in and I think played well. I think he's going to have to, he got beat up at Colorado on a pass. But I think by and large, I think our safeties and corners are going to play a good physical game. And, I think it's just going to come down to really scheming, putting pressure on Hundley, getting him out of a rhythm, stuffing the run. That's one of the things that I think we do very well. You're going to see Miles Jack from their side probably get a lot of touches. I'm assuming he's going to get a lot of touches on the offensive side of the football. Very low center of gravity, runs hard. And so guys like Hayes Pillard and Sorrow and our outside linebackers are going to have to make plays. And certainly we're going to have to win the battles up front. And I think if Leonard Williams can play the type of football that he does game in and game out, I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and George Uko is making a big, big push up front as well. So I think if we control the trenches up front, linebackers really are active, flying around, making plays, and then a defensive backfield that's playing probably a lot more man, they're going to be manned up a lot, and defending Shaq Evans and these guys and really playing a good physical brand of football is what it's going to come down to. I will say, Shaq Evans, some of the talking and some of the stuff that's kind of taken place. I mean, I haven't pulled it up yet verbatim to see what he said, but I heard him on the radio I heard the excerpt of him talking about USC when they were down. And I think this was right around Washington State, Arizona State, talking about, hey, USC's down. I was there, 50-0 when we lost, and we can't wait to embarrass them this year. We're going to bury them. We can't wait to get out there and just destroy these guys. So that's kind of the sentiment. Obviously I haven't heard much from him since. Jordan Zumwalt, I know when they beat Washington a couple weeks, a lot's happened since then. He had made the comment that, hey, Stanford's not going to lose again. We're looking forward to seeing them in the conference championship game. And then obviously we went out the next night, the Trojans did, and beat Stanford. So, these guys are making a lot of assumptions, saying a lot of things. I think it's probably been curbed a little bit, certainly by a tough coach like Jim Mora that probably is not a fan of hearing those types of things. And so I think he's probably shutting that down. But a lot of talk from these guys, and looking forward to us, playing the game and shutting them up.
Yeah, that Shaq Evans stuff I wanted to ask you about, so I'm glad you brought that up. But he did say today, he was asked, reporters asked him about wanting to embarrass USC in his comments. He said, I probably could have said it, so I was quoting him, I probably could have said it in a different way, but what I meant by it, I don't regret. So he's not really backing off from what he was saying, but it was certainly a different USC team then when he said it. It looked like, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. Now, I'm sure if I'm Shaq Evans, I'm a little bit worried that it's going to be hard just to win, let alone try to embarrass them.
Well, and I think, again, you know, you go back to the top of the house, and, I mean, a guy like Coach Mora, who really changed their culture over there from being a soft and being perceived as a soft team, you know, to really making them a much tougher football team and recruiting well, getting some great guys over there, Vanderdoest and some of the guys that SC clearly was making a push for, and Kylie Fitz, that, you know, obviously there were other issues with the way that played out. But anyway, there's, I think, a lot that you know, a guy like that runs their mouth, I don't think it's ever good. You know, really, I'm not an advocate of it. There, you know, obviously there's, you know, going back a long ways when people talk a lot. I'm a much bigger fan of just taking care of business. I did hear Coach George Run address some of that. He just said, hey, look, you know, we're just focused on what we can control inside, you know, inside the locker room, you know, and on the field, you know, what we can do. And I think that's where the focus has to be. But, you know, a guy like let's make no bones about it. You know, Ryan, I wrote about it last week. So I think what you're going to see is any team that has an opportunity to kick USC while they're down, take a look at the 55-21 game in 2009. I know I'm going back a ways, but that just goes to show you, Jim Harbaugh going for two, really to try to bury USC, they will. And that's the baton that was tossed again to hand it off to Oregon and to Stanford. They're going to do whatever they can do to embarrass and to hammer USC whenever they have the opportunity. And that's been shown clearly with the scholarships that have been down, and I think a lot of the teams out there had recruited against USC talking about, hey, USC is going to be done and they're not going to be around or viable for a long, long time. And even I think within the athletic department, you had a number of people that had talked about SC really not being relevant for the next 10 years and not being at least back to what they had been. And so I love the fact that Coach O hasn't bought into any of that. He has not created any excuses, no moral victories, none of that. He's created the toughness and the belief that we can win, and we can win right now with less guys, haven't talked about having fewer numbers, having guys step up, as I talked about with Sorrow and Leonard Williams with a shoulder, you know, playing every play of that game against Stanford. I think that's what you're going to see. And so when you have a guy like Shaq Evans and you have these guys across town that are basically, we're probably part of that 50-0 game, or maybe they were being recruited if they're young guys, seeing that, there's a chip on their shoulder. And so USC being back with Coach O, I think that's part of what the collective feeling is with being back and being part of USC, and USC getting back to playing Trojan football.
All right, Shane, one last thing before we let you go. How do you see this game playing out? You don't have to give a score if you want, but just how do you see this shaping out between USC and UCLA on Saturday?
Well, I think emotions are going to run high. We talked about it. I think that UCLA is going to probably show us some things maybe that we haven't seen as much. Again, Miles Jack, I think they're going to really try to get him on track and run on the football. I know that Arizona State did a better job of defending him than the previous teams had. So I think that it comes down to the trenches. I believe that we're going to get pressure on Hundley. I think we're going to put him into some bad decisions that we didn't see much of last year. You touched on that. He was really back there with a lot of time and certainly did some things to us that hurt us. So I think that we're going to get pressure on him. I would expect to hopefully get to him four or five times, maybe create some hurries, get a couple of turnovers. We have to win the turnover battle. We have to win in the trenches. And I think Cody Kessler is going to be a key to this football game. I think that giving him some time, allowing us to be able to run the football up front. I think we need to be able to run the football, create some play action, and then just keep distributing the football. Marquise Lee is going to be back. I think we've got to find ways to get him the football but not become too reliant and too dependent on getting him the football. Nelson Aguilar is a tremendous weapon. Darius Rogers is a big physical, true freshman in the tight end play, that getting those guys back involved in the backside of the backfield. So I would expect for us to hopefully run the football, run it effectively, at least get on track to be able to pick up first downs and move the chains. But I expect Cody Kessler to really be the key, and he's playing at a very high level with a lot of confidence right now and really owning the really feeling confident in the pocket and just owning the game and feeling really good about that. So I think he has to take what the defense gives him. I expect USC to win a close game. I don't really see this becoming a blowout, but I do expect USC I would expect them to, you know, come out, take care of business, and get this win, and create probably a pretty tough decision for Pat Hayden with Coach O finishing the 8-game season 7-1. So it'll be fun to see what happens, and looking forward to it.
Really tough decision, or some feel it should be a really easy decision, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, yeah, I guess that depends on what side of the fence you're looking at. You know, I definitely am a big fan and a big advocate for Coach O. I do think, you know, again, how you play against your rivals is what it's about at USC. You know, we lost a tough one on the road to Notre Dame. You have to beat UCLA and Notre Dame. Certainly, Pete set the bar high, going 16-2 over 9 years. But that's going to be a big one. And so I think Pat, knowing him enough to know that he does look at things from all sides. He's made it very clear that he's looking at this on a long-term basis, not emotionally, you know, looking at a quick fix or anything like that. But it's going to be hard to argue with the success that he's brought in when the team and the system was so broken, really turning things around. It's going to be tough, but looking forward to seeing Coach O lead the troops and seeing that Coliseum, you know, at capacity and just having a heck of a game. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, Shane, great stuff. Thanks very much for coming on the show again, and look forward to talking to you after the UCLA game. See what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Fight on, everybody. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Shane, and everyone else. Hey, back in 30 seconds, we're going to talk with Hall of Famer Marcus Allen on the Armchair Quarterback Podcast.
You are listening to the Peristyle Podcast from Los Angeles, California.
Hey, USC Trojan fans, to get into the huddle of your Southern Cal Trojans, log on to uscfootball.com today for all the latest in Trojan football, basketball, and recruiting news. Ryan Abraham will give you an in-depth analysis, recruiting updates, and will answer your questions every day on the message board. So for all the latest in team and recruiting news on your USC Trojans, check out uscfootball.com, the officially licensed Southern Cal site of the Rivals.com network.
It's time to get back to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com.
We're back here on the Armchair Quarterback Podcast. Got a very special guest. He was the 1981 Heisman Trophy winner, actually rushed for 2,342 yards. His USC number is retired, number 33. He was a first-round draft pick in 1982 and a six-time Pro Bowler in the NFL. With over 12,000 yards in 16 seasons, he's a member of the College Football and Pro Football Hall of Fame. Of course, I'm talking about Marcus Allen. Marcus, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. And wanted to let you know, if you want to follow Marcus on Twitter, he's at Marcus Allen, MarcusAllenHOF, which stands for Hall of Fame. So Marcus Allen Hall of Fame. And you and Ronnie Lott have that in your Twitter handle. Did you guys get together coming up with those Twitter handles?
No, we were roommates while at SC, so maybe it's just a minute left at the end time. I'm not sure of that.
Well, that's nice if you could put that. Everyone wants to have that little verified, you know, blue check mark, but I think it's better to have HOF after your Twitter handle. It's not a bad way to roll.
Well, I think Marcus Allen was taken, so I had to get creative, so that was it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Well, wanted to talk a little bit about this team, and I think the first thing we can get into is Ed Orgeron taking over as the interim head coach, and you were kind of in a unique position for this because when he took over after the Arizona State game, there was a week and a half or so before the Arizona game, you were actually the first player that he brought in to speak to his guys and get them fired up. And they put the video on YouTube and it was a sensation and kind of went all over the place. And what was that experience like for you coming in and talking to the team?
Well, it was an honor. And you know, we always, and I'm speaking when I say we, I think former players, we want to find ways that we can certainly help the team and give back. Coach Hill asked me, and I jumped at the opportunity. I address the team as we, because I feel like I'm included. I'm a part of the team, part of the university, part of the football tradition, part of the SC landscape. So I wanted to get involved and do what I could. You know, trying to motivate the players, I think I'm pretty good at that. I've been known as a pretty good leader over the course of my football career, and I just wanted to add or remind them of the tradition at USC, and that they're able to reach their full potential under Coach O.
And if you anyone missed it out there, if you just Google on YouTube or, you know, go to YouTube and do Marcus Allen, USC, you'll see that one. And to say you're pretty good at that, yeah, I think it worked pretty well. I mean, you could probably take you could take credit for USC going on a 6-1 roll after you talked to him.
Well, I just wanted to challenge them and remind them that you don't get a scholarship to USC, just because you can, you're an ordinary football player. You get a scholarship there because you're a great football player and you have the potential to be one of the best ever. I think we offer scholarship to, good people who have the opportunity to become great people. So I just wanted to remind them that, all the answers that they needed were in that room because they were chosen by that staff because the staff saw something in them that would make them great, that would in turn make the team great.
One of the things you talked about, Marcus, was a clean slate. And I think that's something that it seemed to hit home with the players. You know, we joke that you were the reason why they went on this 6-1 run, but I really do think them being convinced that a clean slate was the way to go, it seemed like it turned, I mean, thinking about it being a clean slate, I think that was it's part of the reason why this team has been able to completely turn things around from the beginning of the season.
Well, I think obviously, you don't want to look in the rearview mirror because obviously, something in, you may have a collision in front of you. So I thought it was best for these guys to look forward and forget about what happened. Not by any means, so I feel like I was, may have contributed just a tiny bit. But, what I've seen under Coach O is he really understands the essence of football, and I think that's what we were missing. I think he understands that the game begins from the inside out, that it starts at the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, and I think that's what he wanted to regain. And once you become really dominant at those positions, you can, and then you have the type of athletes that we do have, you can become a great team. And I think that's what we're missing. I thought under the former regime, we sort of had everything began from the outside in. And you can't play football that way. I mean, as an offensive line, if your first steps are backwards, you're in trouble as a team. You have to establish yourself going forward and then learn how to pass block. And I think he understands that. And I think he understands the essence of really what made USC great for so many years, that we were the most physical team in football. It's interesting that everybody's looked at Stanford, and I don't know if people are aware of this, but this is what Stanford had said. I'm not making this up. This is from their coaching staff. They decided to become the USC of the 70s and the 80s.
That's really interesting.
They saw something that we had, that winning formula, and they said, hey, that's a successful model, guys. Let's do that. And we got away from what really made us great. And I think we're starting to get that back under Coach O. And the other thing that I've looked at, we all get caught up in the wins. And, of course, I mean, that is exciting and it's emotional. It's wonderful. That's what we should be doing. That is the expectation of what we should be doing. Looking at Stanford, I looked at all the headlines and they were talking about shock and stunned. And I'm going, that's SC. That's the expectation. Everybody else feels that way, but the expectation is we were going to win. And he started to bring that back. But the other thing, before I just digress, was player development, I think, has been outstanding under him. And that is what I look at more than anything. Guys started to regress earlier. Now they're getting better. I mean, the obvious is the quarterback. Remember, we couldn't throw for 54 yards. I mean, we threw for a total of 54 yards. With Mark Easley and Nelson Aguilar, I can't even believe that. But then we turn around, and I mean, he has gotten better and better and better each week. And you could argue, I mean, he's probably been the best, hottest quarterback in the Pac-12, just recently. It's certainly... And then you look at, obviously, Buck Allen, and you look at J.R. Tavai, you look at Suma, Vanuka. I mean, players are getting better and better, and player development is the most important thing. You know, you get these guys to come in as highly touted freshmen, but if they plateau and they don't get better, that's usually coaching. So now these guys are getting better and better, and I think that's the most important thing that I see.
So you feel that that's actually coaching, even though they're still the same assistants, Marcus, that are on the staff now as they were under Lane Kiffin, the only addition being Pete Jenkins?
Well, I feel like certainly, listen, you have talent. You know, some of these guys are just really sort of, you know, need great television sets. They just need a little fine-tuning, and that's where the coaches come in. And I think these coaches have done an outstanding job. Clancy Pendergast with the defense, Clay with the offense, they've gotten better and better each week. The running backs, I mean, they think, and, you know, we know that we have a talented group of running backs, but, you know, I don't know what Buck was at the time. It's fourth string. And I understand he always showed promise at practice but never got an opportunity. But for him, his development has been amazing. It really has. It's certainly wanting to. It's certainly listening, you know, to coaches. But it's also it's a coach having the opportunity to just give you these little nuances that can turn you from a good player to a great player. And I think that's what's going on right now. But the other thing, let me tell you real quick, Brian, is that we've gotten back to practicing the way we should practice. And the one thing I've always said is, either Ronnie Lott, I'll use him for an example, he's my roommate. Ronnie Lott did not go to the Hall of Fame because of his years at San Francisco. It's because he learned how to practice at USC, where he practiced so hard, games became easy. I became a better player at USC because I learned how to practice. Because if you can beat Ronnie Lott at practice, there's nobody better than him in the game. And so our practices were so competitive, and we were going, you know, ones against two, sometimes ones against ones, and we didn't concern ourselves with injuries because, you know, if a one went down, the two practiced so hard, he was prepared. And I think with Coach O, I mean, I think they've got, you know, back to practicing at a speed, at an aggression that's necessary for them to be great. You can't worry about injuries. I know. And the other thing I'm glad is he doesn't mention the lack of numbers. But you can't worry about those things. You just can't do it, because if you do, you can't develop your team. And I think that's what really would happen. And the Lane Kiffin era, we're so concerned about injury, we never practiced the proper way. And so, you know, we look lost at times where we wanted to gain speed. Many times we played an opponent because I don't think we practiced very well.
You said the guys look lost at times. I was curious, when you went into that room to speak to them, this was obviously before the run, what did you see and what have you seen differently? I mean, was there, just on the players' faces, did you go into a room and it seemed like guys were not fired up and what has changed since you gave that speech to what the guys look like now?
Well, no, they were attentive. I think they were fired up. I think they themselves felt maybe a new opportunity to turn the page and rewrite a different resume or a new resume, a good resume. I think they were attentive. They were excited. I think they. You don't want to say they, you know, they were, I think they liked the decision. I don't want to say that, but certainly I think they were excited about Coach Hill being the coach and maybe some of the enthusiasm and changes in the new implementations and practices and so forth that he brought to the team. I think they were enjoyed.
As far as Coach O taking over, I'm not sure a lot of people felt that that was a realistic possibility, me included in that. And once the Stanford
Why?
Game,
Why?
Well, I wasn't sure as far as, you know, if that's the way Pat Hayden wanted to go. But once he beat Stanford, I've seen a lot. I mean, I think there's been guys like yourself and a lot of former players really love him. And the players loved him from day one. I think it's just the outside people looking in weren't really sure if Pat Hayden's going to go that way. But it seemed like that changed a lot after Orgeron beat Stanford, and now he's 6-6.
Well, you know what? All due respect to the outside people, I mean, I you really appreciate their, you know, excitement and enthusiasm. But, I mean, those who really know football understand what he brings to the table, which is, you know, to me, leadership. I think so many, you know, times we get so enamored with the X's and O's that we forget the essence of football. You got to understand what football is all about. It's physical and psychological warfare. And occasionally you can throw a trick or two in a game when you're beating a guy up to fool him. But if that's what you are, if you're only X's and O's and you don't understand the football, you know, I mean, look at Oregon. They're a great team, but they're when it really comes down to playing football against top opponents, they're physical, they lose every single time. Now, if USC wants to be that, I mean, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in winning national championships. And the way you do that is understanding football. And he has everything it takes, the knowledge, how to involve his coaches, how to trust his coaches, how to trust his players, how to motivate his players. He cares about his players. I mean, he recruits these kids. He knows them extremely, extremely well. And he wants the best for them, and he certainly wants the best for his team. I don't care, I mean, who they, you know, think about bringing in. They won't bleed Cardinal and go or understand SC the way he does.
Yeah, it's certainly been an impressive run, and he has your endorsement and endorsement a lot of former players, all, obviously the current players. Do you think that's the way Pat Hayden's going to go? Do you think that this is a legitimate thing that can...
I don't know. Pat is a pretty good poker player right now. I mean, he hasn't showed his hand. And again, when I pull for him, it's not because, or Coach O rather, it's certainly because we're winning games, but because he's brought back a formula that has been tried and true, that has made us one of the greatest. Sports traditions in the history of college football. I mean, we practice at a way that most people don't understand. We were so competitive at practices, games were easy. And that's what he's brought back, the competition, practicing at high speed, game speed, giving everyone an opportunity, keeping all the kids involved, and he knows his X's and O's. But the brains of him as well is that, you know, he has some people that were hired to do a job, and he lets them do it. Now, no question, he comes in, you know, he establishes the game plan by saying, this is what we want to do. Now you go in there, play, and do it. And he tells Clancy, this is what we'd like to do. And you know, Clancy goes in and sets the game plan. But, you know, it's his philosophy. It's what he wants to do.
Marcus, I don't know, we put a lot of polls up on USCfootball.com about who should be the next coach. And ever since, well, certainly since Stanford, but even before that, Orgeron's been winning them hands down. He's getting about 75% of the votes, but it's very polarizing, which I find interesting. Like, I'm fine with, I think he'd be a great coach, and I don't have an issue if Pat Hayden goes outside and hires someone. I'm kind of fine either way, but there's a lot of people that they just don't want him. It's a smaller percentage, but they just don't want him. They feel that this is kind of a gimmick that they, you know, the guys are fired up right now, but it's not sustainable. I mean, what do you say to people like that are just adamant that it shouldn't be Coach O?
Well, then, Pat, Coach Carroll shouldn't have been coached then. I mean, if you look at his resume, he didn't, you know, do exactly well in the National Football League, and he was able to sustain his players playing at a level for, you know, a couple of years with national championships. So I don't understand that argument.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I don't understand the gimmick. I mean, if you have players that want to play, and I'm a player, and most of those people out there aren't or have, and they don't understand what leadership is. They don't understand when you really like a cares about you. Do anything. You know, the old saying that, you know, guys don't care what you know until they know that you care. He cares about these kids. And they see that. and they're willing to go to war with them, and he has their back as well. And that's not something that you can't take.
As far as his status with the team and what's going on going forward, I think this weekend will have a lot to do with that. We'll see. Maybe it won't. But UCLA, big game, the big rivalry game. He's already got a nice win over Stanford. I wanted to get your thoughts on this UCLA game. You were 3-1 against UCLA over your career. What are your thoughts going into this game and what you remember about UCLA?
Well, it's a great game. You know, it's bragging rights. You know, I was from San Diego, and I watched the game, you know, the series when I was growing up, and always, you know, love USC. I always thought the USC was the football school and UCLA was the basketball school. That was, you know, how I felt growing up. It was an amazing rivalry. Obviously, being able to participate in it, yes, was 3-1. We lost really on a fluke touchdown to Freeman McNeil, the official opportunity to intercept the pass, deflected off his hands. It was caught by Freeman McNeil. He ran it for a touchdown, and that's really how we lost the game. But it is, there are so many kids now out of Los Angeles area that know each other. That know each other so well that can, you know, that's competed against each other, and now they're, you know, going to different universities, and yeah, there's a little, you know, animosity, of course. You know, there's a you know, we dominated the series, yet we lost last year, and you know, you're only as good as your last game. So, you know, as far as they're concerned, we're not very good, and you know, we have an opportunity to close the season out with 10 wins, and that's due for us. They have goals as well. So it's going to be, you know, it's unique because it's so close. I mean, you can throw a rock to UCLA. I mean, it's that close. I mean, we're in the country. You have schools like that. So it's going to be an exciting game. I think it's going to be, you know, more energy than the Stanford game. I think it's going to be one great game, too, and I expect us to win it.
All right. And then before we let you go, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I could not ask you about the running back situation. You got to see, I think, 6 different tailbacks for USC this year. Any guys that remind you of yourself, or any guys that really stood out for you this year?
You know what? Listen, we got so many different types of backs. You know, Trey's just a power back who can wear down a defense and beat your defense up, and then you can bring in a bunk who has the, you know, the ability to, you know, to take the distance anytime he touches the ball. And Davis is the same way. You know, Ty Isaac is another good back. I mean, we have, you know, and Silas with his, you know, with his veteran leadership has just been outstanding. I mean, that's one of the positions that I think is secure for the next, you know, couple of years. We really don't have to worry about bringing in another running back. And Tommy Robinson has done such a great job. I was impressed, you know, the fact that he played all the running backs the first game and the new staff took over. Well, Coach O took over. They played all the running backs and to really sort of breathe life into that running back group, that was the way to do it because all those guys were happy for each other and pulling for each other and stuff. And then we realized how talented they really are, but you know, it comes down to trust too. And when a player realizes the coach trusts him, I mean that's magic. You know, a lot of times I've said this time and time again. When I was one of the best things that ever happened to me, besides my great teaching at USC and all that I learned football wise, is I had a professional coach who just recently passed away. His name was Ray Wilsey. And by trade, Ray was a defensive back coach. But he was moved over to coach to running backs. And, you know, a lot of times when you go to a different organization, you always have the running back coach to tell you not to do certain things. And Ray never told me not to do, not to feel. He never told me not to, you know, catch the ball a certain way. He always just said, make sure. And those words just liberated the way that I was capable of playing. I never played looking over the shoulder. And it's interesting. I don't think these kids ever play looking over the shoulder now. worried about, you know, if they do something wrong, would it be taken out? I think Tommy Robinson has the ultimate faith in them. And believe me, players return that to their coaches. They'll do whatever they want them to do. They'll fight as hard as they, you know, want them to fight. They'll do whatever is necessary to reward that coach or to pay that coach back.
All right, well, Marcus Allen, HOF on Twitter. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes out and joining the podcast. We love hearing from the former players, and you had that unique opportunity to speak to the team before this historic run. So we'll see if Ed O can finish it off here on Saturday.
I sure hope he does.
All right, well, thanks again.
A lot.
Oh, yeah, thank you, and everyone else, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We'll talk to you all next week.